I'd like to welcome to Planet Waves FM Katerina Rozhenko from Kiev.
Hello, everyone. Eric, thank you. I'm happy to be here with you.
All right. So perhaps it would be lovely if, under better circumstances, Kate is usually the person behind the scenes recording all of our video interviews, producing all of the years of video readings and YouTube videos, Planet Waves TV, and so on and so on. So now we get a look at you, and we're going to hear from you. As long as I've known your family, I've known your dad back to the dawn of time, who departed with us sadly in late 2020. There's always been some shit brewing in Ukraine. We lost track of the revolutions going on, and everyone just looting the palace and wearing orange one year and so forth. But what's different now? What do you think is going on now in Ukraine?
Well, currently what I can say, I think there's probably a war preparation because Ukrainian are scared a lot, but no one's panicking in the streets. And what I personally see in the capital is that people are pretty calm, but after speaking with several of my friends, I have noticed that they're having some thoughts regarding the possible invade, because Russia, they have said that they're going to remove the entire army, all the soldiers, but eventually we see that they only have doubled the amount on the borders with the Belarus. And after watching several episodes of the news that we have, well, we saw the Belarus president speaking up. He said that we're going to leave the army for maybe 2 months or 1 month, for as long as we need, because this is our territory. That's what they said.
Are you talking about Crimea, on the side or on the Belarus side?
The one which is at the top near Chernobyl, this one.
Okay. So what the New York Times is reporting, right on page one right now, U.S. heightens warnings of Russian attack on Ukraine. Russian drills and separatist calls for evacuations raise tensions. A leader of Russia-backed separatists in eastern Ukraine, that's weaselly language, urged evacuations after warning Ukraine was about to attack.
Right. So we have a backup plan. As far as I know, I have read several articles. I know that we have several plans. We're preparing the transport to evacuate people from Kiev, all the buses and all of that. And we have the backup plan of the subway, to work somehow. But still, we have about, 3 cities that can be conquered. I would say that's my hometown, which is Zaporozhye. It's pretty close to the Crimea.
Zaporozhye, down in the south.
Yeah, Zaporozhye. Also, it's near Donetsk, which is currently having a war for about maybe 8 years or so. It has started back in 2014. Mm-hmm. And also Kiev, which is close to border. But I know that approximately 30% of our army is near the border. So we have a chance to go against them. That's how we can protect ourselves somehow. But so Ukraine is at a very high risk currently.
Right. So now you were talking about the Crimea. We know there's been this incursion on Crimea. The port was taken. Part of the problem that Russia has, it's landlocked. And its only port is in Donetsk, is that you said? Is that pronounced correctly?
Yeah.
Onto the Black Sea?
Yeah, yeah. It's close to the Black Sea, but they can go from this port. And it's about maybe 100, 200 kilometers from Zaporozhye.
Right. Oh, this little Soviet type of town that would not seem to me to be really worth conquering. So I'm having a hard time understanding what conquering means in 2022, when things are all done by computer and you can send out a press release and everyone thinks you did it.
I would say to my mind, they're just interested in conquering the territory, the left side of Ukraine, just for the political purposes. I didn't know what was the original goal of conquering Donetsk, but they still did, and they killed a lot of people there. And Russia is claiming that these are not their soldiers. These are just like these separatists or someone else. So they just need, I would say, they need a reason so that they would just, you know, like do this legally to invade Ukraine. So that US wouldn't like, I don't know like this word exactly, but I'm sorry, I just forgot.
The rationale for doing it? The way to be like, provoked?
Yeah, something like this. No, it's when they're cutting like the possibilities for Russia like to develop as a country. That's mm-hmm. what I mean. So US has threats towards Russia as well as some European countries, but Russia thinks that they can still like invade Ukraine and conquer the entire left side of the country. It's like literally
in the south by Crimea. But they mm-hmm. have invaded that. They are occupying Ukrainian territory. They are occupying the seaport.
Yeah, so they have occupied one region and they have only like four to go, and that's it. Like the half of Ukraine is gone. What will be gone?
Right. I'm still having trouble understanding this from a strategy standpoint. A military strategy standpoint.
I agree. That's weird, but I don't know, like, no one can predict what they will do.
Right. So now we're being told in the U.S. media that the troops are amassing all around they're surrounding mm-hmm. Ukraine has borders of Poland, Belarus, and Russia, right?
And Moldova as well.
Moldova. I didn't hear about that one. I'm always studying the map. I forgot about that one, I guess. Now, so that we're being told that, and there's this amped up in the U.S. press. There's a perception here that the whole thing is a drama to distract people from the crumbling COVID narrative, because the entire COVID psyop has come off the rails.
That's also one of the theories that I heard from people here, is that Russia and Ukraine are doing this in order to just distract people, and that's it. But the problem is that Ukraine and Russia, they have like bad relationship, like, and Belarus, they have went, you know, like towards with Russia with they have this kind of law when they can cooperate, and they have like joined their army together. So I don't see any sense in Belarus doing this, because we have never ruined our relationship with Belarus. So I don't know why they keep doing this.
Politics.
Well, yes, but still, I don't think that Russia's strategy is really good. Really.
No, I'm not able to wrap my mind around it. It seems like why conquer this little neighbor where you don't even need to conquer it? You already have total domination over it already. So what's to conquer?
I think their goal is just, you know, like to divide Ukraine into parts, like give away like the part with the west side to Poland, to Moldova, and to Belarus, and just take all this left side of Ukraine, like the east, basically to themselves.
To take the east, which they pretty much have.
Yes, like 20%.
Done that. Going back 5, 6, 7 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just pulling up a map to get a better concept. So, okay, okay, Ukraine, Poland, Belarus, Moldova to the south.
Yes.
That's a little country near Romania. Okay.
Yeah, but Moldova, they pretty much they don't have like the threat to us, and I don't think that they're like in communication with Belarus or Russia. So I've never heard about this in use, you know. So.
Right, the rationale that I can think of is the world is totally screwed up. Let's pretend it's not staged. Let's pretend it's not just designed by a public relations firm to take the emphasis off of the protests in Canada, which are very important, and mm-hmm. the fact that there is no longer any cohesive pandemic. This is a pandemic without anybody sick. It's a conceptual pandemic. I mean, it largely has been due to the test because being completely phony. But now, 2 years in, they're having a hard time sustaining the story. Usually, news stories in the U.S. last a week at the most. So we've gone 2 years on this. Okay, let's talk about on the ground. You were out today with your film student in in Kiev. What you were out roaming around for several hours with your colleagues, with your fellow students. Where were you and what did you see?
I was in the center of the city. We were having a premiere and I was like participating in a small presentation. And I have seen a lot of journalists and I have asked their opinion regarding the situation. Most of them think that this is just like a hoax and that's it. But I have met several people who are extremely concerned about the situation. So the problem is that we have a lot of different information. Like we have only one main channel in Ukraine and they give like entirely different information every day. That's the issue. And people are confused and some of them even have like their suitcases packed. And I would say like I'm almost one of these people. I have like small bag just in case if I need to like evacuate somewhere.
I'm not understanding why you would go anywhere.
Because if we remember the situation in 2014, we had like citizens like war in Kiev because of Russia. It was terrible.
In Kiev?
In Kiev, right. It was in Maidan Square. It was terrible. There was a war because of our ex-president. I believe it was like... it was the president who like robbed country literally and he ran away to Russia.
Right. Okay, yes. But that's more of a revolution and ousting the leader. Really, was it a conquering? Was it a war? The palace was raided. The photo, there were paintings. This guy, Yushchenko. Then there was the Dioxin guy. It was such a parade of people.
Yeah, but it wasn't Yushchenko. It was I even forgot his name. I'm sorry, his surname. But the problem was that people and our like nation police, they were fighting against each other, and we have a lot of meanings here. Like people are going crazy in Ukraine. That's the issue. Like the older generation, we have arguments between each other because, for instance, I speak Russian. And people hate me for that. I mean, the Ukrainians, they don't like me for that. And I could easily get harassed in the street for talking in Russian language because that's the language of this separatist, you know?
Right. See, I was under a slightly different impression that really in Kiev you speak Russian and many people in Kiev don't speak Ukrainian.
No, currently it's the opposite. Like 70% of people speak Ukrainian. 70%.
In Kiev?
Yes, in Kiev.
Okay. But meanwhile, there's not troop movements. Are there? Could you see any?
No, I haven't seen any tanks or soldiers. Nothing at all. But I have seen tanks in Zaporizhia going like somewhere on the east side of the country. So they were moving them like to the borders.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do the streets seem normal to you?
Pretty much yes, then no. But I would say I can feel some tense, especially in subway. I don't know if just for some reason I see just people with newspapers. I haven't seen that like many people with newspapers. They started to read them again because they're curious about what is going on. And I don't know, they just seem not, you know, like sucked into that routine. People just preparing for something, but we don't know for what.
Right. I'm still having a hard time figuring out where you would go or why you would go anywhere. Isn't your home the safest place?
No, it's not. When that situation was in 2014, I remember the first thing that my dad told me, like, we have to get our suitcases packed just forward, just in case. And we had like three suitcases with the ramen, like with you know, with food that we can take. Yeah,
right.
We had like a huge bag. So he said, just in case, just, you know, to go somewhere to the west or like in Europe or in like to Turkey. And now, when there's a high possibility that Kiev might get invaded, Zaporozhye, like, there is nothing I can go like and be 100% safe in Ukraine. So I have kind of like a backup plan. We have Europe, which is like can accept us because we have like the passport that allows us to be in Europe for 180 days. And hopefully the thing, like, things will be resolved. And also one thing I wanted to mention is that a lot of our like political person, they have left the country, but not our president. And he have said that, like, you have to get back to Ukraine. You're scaring people. Like, why are you leaving? And a lot of lecturers in my film school, they have left the country as well. Isn't it strange?
Yeah. And they've also moved the embassies temporarily?
Yes. They have moved embassies to Lviv. It's like, you can take...
Let me just get my map out here so I can,
I can
see a little bit better. So where do they where do they move the embassies to?
To Lviv. It's L-V-I-V.
What direction?
East. So sorry, west.
West of Kiev, but not like a suburb.
No. It's not west of Kiev. It's entirely different city. Entirely different city. It's near to the Poland border.
Okay, hold on. Let's see if I can find that.
Mm-hmm.
Near
it's pretty...
to the Poland border. I personally could hitchhike around for a year around there. That would be like the time of my life. Oh, Lublin. Okay, I see that. So it's quite near Warsaw.
Yeah.
It's near Krakow. It's right near Poland.
Yeah.
Right.
As far as I know, like Canadian embassy, U.S. embassy, as well as Netherlands.
Moved.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So international embassies are shacking up. They're going to the mats, as we say in the mafia, in Lublin, renting a house or something like that and getting out of town.
Yeah.
As U.S. embassy, Netherlands embassy, and who else?
Canadian
embassy. Let's figure that out. Okay. The new Axis powers. And those are the only ones you've heard of?
Yes. Like, only three. And there was some, like, headline news. I was curious, like, what these people have said. And they were like, don't worry. That's just, you know, for our safety and nothing serious. We're not worried. We just decided, like, to move from Kiev, like, just temporarily, just for several weeks. And I was like... I don't remember the situation when the embassies would move like to another city that fast in all three. Never.
Right. All the shit that's been flying since I've been tracking Ukraine closely since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
When I met your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a running joke of various things. And Putin's always been a jerk and all this. There's still something I know that I'm not understanding about this. And the only two motives I can really think of for invading Ukraine are A, creating a distraction, and B, taking advantage of the chaos of the world right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they don't want to get us like to Europe. So when there's an active war going on in the country, European Union cannot accept us. That's also one of their goals. Yes.
Wait, when there is a war, they can't accept you. Your passports are not valid for travel inside the EU.
No, we can travel, but I mean, Ukraine is on the way to get accepted into European Union.
Right. Yeah. I see.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a very good idea anyway, but whatever.
Yes.
So the rule says that if the country's at war, it can't be accepted into the EU.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
When was the last time there was a discussion about Ukraine becoming part of the EU?
Oh, We have these like in use maybe every day, but we're not even close because we have some, we don't have like active war. It's not war actually, but we have some, as they say, like suspicious actions on the borders. It's like, it's literally like an 8-year war, which is still going on, like in Donetsk, you know, and that is why they also cannot accept us. I mean, but have you seen our level of economy? We cannot be accept because of this as well. So it's not like the main problem.
Okay, so it's a way of, in theory, it's a way of preventing Ukraine from aligning with the EU.
Yes. And do you see like the possible scenario here if Russia is going to invade Ukraine like entirely, they're going to be close to European Union. And Ukraine is one of the biggest, not even one of the biggest, it's the biggest country in Europe. Like it's the center of Europe. So if we're looking from the geographical side, it's also an advantage for Russia, obviously. And they could invest some good money in developing this port if they would conquer it simply.
Conquer wh wh you now you're still talking about in the in the southeast.
Yeah, but you see, the Dnieper River, it divides Ukraine in two parts, and if they will conquer entirely the east side, they will be closer to Europe. I think they can do that. And let's not forget also about the stuff that we have regarding the I forgot the name of this thing, but coil probably. It's about the resources, you know, that people use to like on in factories. Let me check out. I'm
You mean
sorry.
like raw materials?
Yes, like metal, colored metal, usual metal. We have a lot of that in the eastern side of Ukraine.
Okay. I mean, that's a typical reason for invasion, but there would be no need to pile up troops on the border of Belarus to invade Kiev
Right.
for that. So there's a mystery of what is pr why now. Would you agree that that's
Yes.
a mystery?
Yes, exactly. Because I would never like expect something inventor, and there hasn't been some kind of political active stuff going on. We have like we're having war for 8 years, but you know it's kind of stable. I mean, we know that some of part of our army is focused there, and we're still like doing pretty good. In terms of like not giving away our territories, at least some of them, but I don't know why they keep doing this.
But we're talking. Go ahead. Oh, no, go ahead.
As the president of Belarus said, like this is our territory. We can do whatever we want. That's literally what he said, like regarding placing the army for training purposes, as he said.
Yeah, but he's full of shit. He's just doing Putin's bidding. He's just a client. Belarus is a client state
I
of
agree.
Russia. And I can see, you know, Putin wanting to like rebuild the USSR.
Yes.
And I think historically, Russia always envies and covets and wants Ukraine.
I would say yes, but they would definitely have a lot of issues with it because our nation. We have a lot of pride here, and as you can see, like as I said with the Ukrainian language, we're trying. We have like the I would say the like the word racism towards Russian people. That's what is going on here. We're simply like getting harassed, and it will be like as I saw in the news, it will be like the third world war if Russia will conquer the entire Ukraine. It will be terrible.
No, I agree. The world's in a very unstable place right now for that to happen. And we're already in one huge, we're already in World War III, which is COVID.
Yes.
it's still a mystery to me because they whoever Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, the Davos gang, whoever pulled off this global coup d'etat. I mean, there's been a global coup d'etat pulled off starting in March of 2020. That's already been done. And it did not require a single shot to be fired.
Right.
And it would seem easier to just to assassinate the leader of Kiev. I'm not suggesting that anyone do this, but it would seem like, well, just easier to assassinate the leader and arrest the cabinet and put new people in and done. You've conquered the place.
Right.
This is what makes me suspicious.
The thing is that no one knows what's going on. It scares us a lot. I mean, we're trying to stay calm, but as I said before, we receive a lot of different information every day. Like, and as Biden said, like, there will be possible invade on February 16th, and still nothing. Quiet for some reason. But we were all pressed on this day. And I remember I saw a lot of people, they were not sleeping at 3 a.m. They were waiting. I saw like the lights on the street.
Yeah, you said there was a prediction of an invasion at 3 a.m. on a certain day. But this is easily classic rumor. Someone spreads rumor. The possibility for disinformation is huge right now.
Right.
With the internet, and we're, I'm really not supposed to be able to conduct an interview with someone, how many thousand, let's see, 5,000 miles away and have it on my radio show in 2 hours? I mean, that's pretty good. So this also facilitates rumors.
Yes.
Okay. How worried are you personally?
Honestly, it depends on what kind of people I communicate with. Because when I'm into my work and studies, I'm not noticing anything, literally. I'm just focused on what I do. And I still have my goals in. And even if war starts, I'm not going to go nuts about that. Because I'm that kind of person who stays calm all the time, like just like my dad did. So, but when I'm communicating with someone, like as my grandmother or mother, the tense is getting like higher, and it's hard like to not to think about the possible war.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to curse anything, but
Me too. It
just seems pointless. It almost seems like Washington, D.C. conquering West Virginia because there's coal there.
So you see, it's pointless, but I don't believe that these are just for training purposes. They have 140,000 soldiers near Ukrainian border just for training purposes.
How do we know that, though? How do we really know that?
We have pictures from the satellite, like a lot of tanks and soldiers. I can send a picture if you want.
So Ukraine, like, by satellite time? I mean, is there a Ukrainian satellite that's up there floating around? Like Sputnik, they like rented Sputnik or something like that.
It's an Ukrainian. I don't remember the name.
It's still like jumpy TV lines, and it's, you know, it's 60, 72 dots per inch resolution. And they can,
it's like the World Safety Company, something like this. I don't remember the abbreviation of
right.
I'm more like,
I figured something like that, right?
So
I'm personally not feeling edgy about this. To me, it just seems ridiculous. Now, I've thought other things were ridiculous too, and they happened. And we are in the era where it is acceptable to invade as a preemptive thing, like the United States invaded Iraq and started a ground war in Iraq for resources and business. Okay, well, I've run out of things to ask you. Please keep us informed and pay attention. And I would think very carefully before leaving. You're not necessarily safer going anywhere. That's what I'm thinking, especially in Kiev.
Yes.
They can't arrest every Kiev resident.
But you see, the situation that we have here, we have heard about bombs and Like some of the skulls got mined. That's the
Mind.
problem. Yes, mined.
Where do you put a
And
mine in a school? Like on the schoolyard or in...
no, not on the school year. I don't know where exactly,
What do you
but
have to do to light the mine off?
I don't know. I'm not really. I don't have a lot of information about that. But still, that's where I heard that. That's what we have on breaking news. And I have heard about bombs like on the borders as well. Like they have a lot of helicopters. So why just not put helicopters and they can just drop bombs on us? That's the thing. Things can get serious, but who knows?
Okay. Well, let's keep doing this. Back up your data.
Will do.
You know, if you leave with nothing else, personal effects and your data.
Yes.
If you need cloud storage to upload it to the cloud, let me know.
I have run out of the space, but I'm going to like buy more gigabytes.
Okay. All right, good. Karolina Rozhenko, thank you very much for contributing and for your on-the-ground reports. And please keep taking pictures and
Thank you. Will
interviewing
do.
people. And we'll catch you next time. All right. And love to your mom. Okay. Bye for now. Okay. So.